Okay, I think I'm ready to go. We got everything, all of the technology sorted out. So my name is Barry Adams. This is the weekly fatherheart.tv webcast, and it is Wednesday, February the 20th, 2019. And today I'm talking about part three of a series that I started 2 weeks ago. So this is the third part. And I simply call it the Kingdom's Entry Level. And for anybody who wasn't on the webcast the last couple of weeks, basically, in a nutshell, a few weeks ago, I was just really, kind of reflecting on kind of our life and the influence, our ministry, my wife and I. And I was just asking Papa, so, you know, where do we fit in into the whole, the bigger Father Heart ministry? And I just, the Lord said in a very loving way, and it was a very fatherly way, he said to me, Barry, you have an entry-level ministry. And, of course, when we think of the word entry-level, oftentimes we can maybe think of it as a junior position in a company. You know, your entry-level pay means the lowest pay, kind of like it's basically kind of the most basic job you can get. So when he said, Barry, you have an entry-level ministry, like I kind of felt like, oh, okay, well, yeah, I'm good with that. But when I started to think about it more, and just this idea that what he was talking about as an entry level, it was the entry into his kingdom, and that the ministry that God has called us to, and of course it's proclaiming the simple gospel, right? Why Jesus came to planet Earth 2,000 years ago, so that he could reveal his Father to the world, and that through his death, burial, and resurrection, that we too could be born into his family, and so that his Father could become our Father. So the more I started to think about it, that this kingdom that you and I have entered into when we were born again into the kingdom of God is immeasurable. It's beyond our ability to comprehend it. It's incredibly simple. I truly believe that, but it's incredibly profound at the same time. I think we'll take an eternity to be able to grasp the amazing vastness of the love of God and the kingdom of our God and our Father. Jesus is the King, and we are joint heirs with Jesus. And, you know, there's a scripture that says that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if he's the King of Kings and we are his brothers and his sisters, I kind of wonder if maybe we're the other kings that he's the King of. But anyway, so basically, you know, when we talk about the kingdom, Jesus was very, very clear in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 to 5. His disciples were asking who is the greatest in the kingdom. And he brought a little child to them and he said, take a look at this child. He really didn't talk a lot about the child. He just presented this child. And from what I understand, he said, bring a little child to me. So a little child isn't like a 10-year-old. It was actually a toddler or a baby, a child that needed to be actually carried to Jesus. So when he speaks about, when he said, take a look at this little child, he said, unless you change and become like this little child, you're going to miss the kingdom. And so kingdom greatness is defined by our smallness, right? Because as Jack Winter used to say, the smaller that we can become, the bigger that God can become in our hearts. So this idea of the entry in Luke chapter chapter 18, verse 15 to 17, there's another situation where these disciples are being a bodyguards to Jesus and preventing the little kids from coming to him because the parents wanted to bring their children so Jesus could lay his hand on them and bless them. And he said, don't prevent the little children from coming to me, for the kingdom belongs to such as these. Then he made it personal again to his disciples. And he said, unless you change and become like a little child, you know, you're not going to enter into the kingdom. So basically, this is part three of a series that I hopefully will be wrapping up today. And it's basically talking about attributes of the kingdom that little children intuitively live in. They don't have to try. They don't have to go to school to learn these attributes. These are things that are woven into our DNA. And I created this comic book, and you can download it online at abbaskids.com, and it just basically has, I just wrote 70 kingdom principles that work for little kids. And so, yeah, we're just unpacking that some more. And my prayer, as we do this today, that I think I'm very, very aware that the simplicity of the things that I'm talking about can be overlooked. It's like, yeah, I know that, but I want the deeper things of God. And I honestly believe, my prayer is that each and every one of us, as we really look at these kingdom attributes that little kids intuitively carry, and which makes them great in God's eyes, that the more we'll start to say, Father, would you help to change my lens, change my understanding of kingdom greatness, and help me to change and become like a little child again. And when Jesus said in Matthew 18, unless you turn, and some translations say, unless you repent and become like a little child again, it's the word there is to go in the opposite direction. So, oftentimes we are spending all of our life trying to be grown up, trying to be mature, trying to be intellectually strong. And even in Matthew 11, when Jesus is praying to his Father, and he says, Father, I praise you because you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you've revealed them to little babies, for this was your good pleasure. And it's oftentimes we spend our life trying to pursue something that we think will make us more confident, when the Father actually likes to reveal his kingdom to babies. So I don't know about you, but I really believe in my heart that there are some dynamics of this, that if we can really even if we grasp one of these attributes, it could absolutely change our life. And I probably mentioned this in a previous webcast on this, but I it bears repeating. Recently, I read an article about little babies, and of course, we have our third grandchild, Levi, and he's five weeks old now. And on the weekend, my wife and I had a chance to be with him, and I was holding him in my arms. And I just find it very interesting that, I guess according to, studies on little children, that for the first 6 months of a baby's life, they cannot differentiate themselves and their mother. They are, because of course they were joined with the mother in the womb for 9 months, but even after 6 months after being born, they cannot separate themselves from their mother. They, as far as they can understand and grasp, their mother and them are one. Now think about it for a second. What would life look like for you and I? Just simply, if our identity was so rooted and grounded in love, so caught up in our union with Jesus. Paul the Apostle said in Galatians 2:20, no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. And Jesus prayed the high priestly prayer in John 17, and he said, I and them, Father, and you and me. You see, because of our union with Jesus, we have automatic union with the Father, an automatic union with his Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives in us, which he has decided to make our being, our very core, his temple. So when you think about little babies in the first 6 months of their life, where they're just simply in union and there's no separation between them and their mother, what would life look like for you and me if that's how we saw our relationship with Jesus and the Godhead? That we are one with Christ. We are in Jesus, who is in the Father. So the Father's in us. I think that would just rock our world. I think there would be, we would not need anything else in the kingdom other than to know that we are joined with Jesus. And so my prayer is that as we continue to unpack some of these simplistic, very innocent childlike attributes, that God would just explode in us this revelation of how deep and how profound these simple childlike attributes are. So in the first two videos, I got to principle number 45, which is little kids do what they're told. You know, it's just simple obedience. And so I want to continue and see how far we get today on the principle number 46, which is simply little kids aren't self-conscious. And I really believe that one of the greatest struggles in the human heart, the adult mindset, is self-consciousness. We are so aware of our vulnerabilities. We are so aware of people's expectations and their judgments and our own judgments and our own expectations that we are constantly dealing with this issue of being self-conscious. And it's interesting how, and if you look at an attribute of little children, and I'm talking about in the healthiest sense of being parented and at the youngest of age, you know, they are oblivious to how they appear. They run around, you know, with no clothes on. They are oblivious to their own nakedness. And if you think about the origin of humanity, when we look right back into the garden, Adam and Eve, and before they were even called Adam and Eve, they were man and woman, they were in the garden and they had no clothes on. And because of the absence of any sense of self-consciousness, they didn't even know they were naked. In Genesis 3, 10 and 11, this is what it says of the origin in the garden. It says, the man said, and he's speaking to God, he says, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? And I really believe that this very, very profound statement, who told you that you were naked, is something that the Father wants to speak to us today. He wants, the Bible says in Isaiah 61, that instead of our shame, God gives us a double portion of our inheritance. And this idea of shame, that it was rooted in the partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it caused man and woman, humanity, to start to sow fig leaves to cover our nakedness. And those fig leaves can be self-effort, it can be addictions, it can be religious striving, it can be performance, it can be all kinds of things that try to mask what we perceive as our nakedness. I can remember one time I was struggling with just, you know, feeling vulnerable, feeling, you know, my own expectations of myself, comparing myself with other people. And I was just kind of in my own little world. And God spoke these words to me. The Father came to me when I was just constantly being so self-aware of my own weaknesses and everything else and, you know, beating myself up. And he said to me, Barry, who told you you were naked? And as soon as he said that, it was like, bam, I got it. I knew what he was saying. I knew he was speaking to this idea that he wanted me to come back to this place of simplicity and not dealing with this constant self-consciousness. And that because he is our covering. And the more that we are understanding that, then we can let all of our fig leaves drop. You know, all the false counterfeit kind of things that we try to create to cover our shame, because, you know, instead of shame, God has given us a double portion of our inheritance. So I don't know. Does that sound good to me? If I could live self-conscious like a little baby and not be aware of anybody's opinions, it would be glorious. Principle number 47, little kids like to share. And I, you know, it was interesting. I watched a TV show on, they studied children. And it was, I think, 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, and 4-year-olds. And they did the study because they wanted to understand about sharing and their ability. And it was interesting, like the 2-year-olds were with their toys or whatever, they had no problem sharing. But when they got to the 3-year-olds started to struggle with sharing, and then the 4-year-olds were, you know, really territorial with their toys and their possessions. And the study that they did, it was very, very clear that the older a child gets, the more they learn to be very, very protective of their own possessions. And but the younger the child, the more that they are they have the ability to share. They don't have a concept of it's mine and stay away and all these other things. And Hebrews 13:16, I just think this is just a beautiful picture of the Father's heart. He says, but don't forget to be doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. See, our Heavenly Father loves it when we share our gifts just like little kids do. And, you know, when we understand that the kingdom belongs to us, we are joint heirs with Jesus. We don't have to be, you know, miserly and protective of everything. We can be generous. We can be giving. We can share because we know that there's all kinds of things. So I don't know if you have a problem sharing things, but if you do, maybe ask the Father to speak to you about understanding your inheritance, understanding the amazing, huge, vast resources that the Father has given to each and every one of us because we're His kids. Make sense? Principle number 48, little kids are spontaneous. I tell you, because we have three grandchildren. We have a two-year-old, a four-year-old, and as mentioned, Levi, our newborn. And our, you know, the older that our little ones get, the two-year-old and the four-year-old, it is just so entertaining to be with them and to play with them and just see the spontaneity. They just shout out loud. They just go into extreme joy. You know, when we get to be older, we start carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders and we lose that spontaneity. And Malachi 4:2 says this, but to you who fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in its wings. You will go out and leap like calves out of the stall. And, you know, other translations say you will go out and you will leap like calves released from the stall. And I don't know if you've ever seen this. I've seen videos of it. I've talked to friends who own farms. But it's like when calves are contained in a pen and they're all kind of, you know, they've got, you know, walls around them and everything else. And then they're released into the meadows. It's like they kick up their legs, their hind legs, and they just start dancing and prancing around, and they just have this joy. Well, God says that we will be released like calves into the open spaces. And I just believe that the Father loves it when we are spontaneous. Oftentimes we live a guarded life so that we are more protective. And again, this comes back to our own self-consciousness and we try to be measured and everything else. But maybe ask the Father to release a spontaneous joy in your life and see what happens. Principle number 49, little kids are genuine. When you look at a child, there's no guile in them. There's no pretense in them. There's no falseness in them. They are really, really real. Psalm 32 verse 2 says, blessed is the man to whom Yahweh doesn't impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. You see, little kids display a beautiful honesty. And I truly believe that the Father wants to restore to you and I just the beautiful ability to be genuine and transparent and authentic in everything that we are and everything that we do. And oftentimes we don't do that because we've had bad experiences where we've been judged and hurt. And so we try to spend our entire life trying to be like other people, trying to figure out, what do you want from me? How can I behave so that you will accept me? I just believe the Father wants you to be you and me to be me. And it seems so simple, but it's probably one of the most complex things because we spend our entire life trying to be what people want us to be. Principle number 50, little kids are curious. One of the things that I believe makes little kids great is their open-hearted curiosity. They are absolutely, because they know that they, apart from the input they get from the people around them, they don't know anything. They just have this incredible, insatiable curiosity, which makes them open-hearted and able to receive. And Jesus said in Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, to him who knocks it will be opened. I just believe that the Father wants to encourage us and restore to us a curiosity in life. And like for anyone who has ever had children or grandchildren, when your little ones get to a point where they can start talking to you and having conversations with you, one of the things that can be really great, but it can get really tiring as well, is when they start asking you questions. What is that? What is that? What is that? And so you're constantly talking to them and answering their questions. And then they start asking the why question. Why? Why is the sky blue? Why do birds fly? All these other things. And oftentimes as parents or grandparents, after trying to explain it the best way you can, sometimes the only answer that can kind of stop it is because, just because. But I just believe that when we become open-hearted again, when we become curious and we are able to be able to see the kingdom with this beautiful simplicity, that we can ask and we can seek and we can knock. And Jesus says that you've got a good dad and he's going to open the door. He's going to, when you ask for something, he's going to give it to you. When you seek, you're going to find him. That we have this idea that, finding God is like this elusive thing, that we, like he plays hide and seek, but he hides so it makes it so difficult to be found that nobody can find him. But the truth is, if you play hide and seek with your grandchildren or your kids or your nephews and nieces, you want to be found because the joy is in being found. And I just believe the Father wants to restore that ability to be curious again and say, Papa, what about this? What about your kingdom? There's mysteries that are in the scriptures that, talk about heaven and angels. I mean, what if we just said, Papa, would you just talk to me more about angels? I want to know a little bit more. Can you just reveal by your spirit these amazing mysteries and watch what happens? Principle number 51, little kids are innocent. Matthew 10:16, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. You see, I believe that every child ever born was carrying this beautiful innocence. If you just look at a newborn and you just look into their eyes, or even a 1 or 2 or 3 year old, and you just see this beautiful transparency, this beautiful innocence. And unfortunately, in the orphan world system, in the fallen world system that we live in, innocence is lost at an early age. And oftentimes, we spend the rest of our life in dealing with shame and sin and condemnation and guilt and the wounding of being abused, and we lose our innocence. And I believe that the whole aspect of the kingdom of God is that Jesus has restored us to that childlike innocence, the innocence of doves, right? Where we are completely clean, we are pure, we are holy, we are washed in the blood of Jesus. And that, that God would want us to be able to come to a place in our life where we're not constantly measuring our identity based on our past experiences. If we've been victimized, it's so easy for us to see our identity as a victim. And I just believe that when we begin to see the restoration of innocence that the Father wants us to experience, it could really, really take a whole lot of burdens off of our shoulders. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul writes, he says that you're to be not children in your understanding, but as according to sin, you're to be innocent, you're to be guileless. And we're not called to be childish, right? We have the mind of Christ, but the mind of Christ is not based on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's based on our abiding in our union with Jesus, right? But Paul says, so don't be children in your thinking, right? Be adults, like think with the mind of Christ, but when it comes to sin, be innocent. You see, the Father, the word justification, one of the root words to that is justified, right? And I've loved where I've heard it described as just if I'd never sinned. You see, when the Father sees you and I, he sees the beautiful innocence that Jesus secured for us on a cross. And wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to deal with all of the toxic thoughts of our history and our past? See, little kids, they don't even have the capacity to be able to deal with these things. And I just believe that because of that, the Father wants us to be like that. He wants us to be innocent as doves, just as if you've never sinned. Because when he sees you through the lens of his own son, Jesus. And he loves his son with all his heart. So I don't know about you, but that one sounds good. Principle number 52, little kids are resilient. If anybody has ever helped to their little child or grandchild to walk, little kids, like if they were discouraged, if they didn't kind of where if they failed once or failed twice, they were trying to walk and they fell down and they hurt them, went on their bum and they were hurt and they start crying. If they said, that's it, I've done it, I'm not going to do it again. But God has given little kids this beautiful resilience where they fall down and they get up again, they fall down, they get up, and they keep on doing it until they learn to walk. And little kids have this amazing God-given gift. And I believe that, you know, because of a lot of the things that happen in our own life, because of the hurts, the pains, we fall down. But oftentimes we don't have that resilience to get up. And Psalm 3, verse 34, this is what it says. Though he stumble, he shall not fall, for Yahweh holds him up with his hand. And when you're walking in life, when I'm walking in life, the more that we know that God is our Father, that Jesus has secured our place at his Father's side, at the Father's table, that we're safe, and we don't have to worry about stumbling and falling because Yahweh is there, our Father is there. Jesus said that, you know, no one can snatch you out of my hands and no one can snatch you out of my Father's hands. Because my Father is greater than I. And I just believe that this resilience where we get discouraged and we give up, the Father wants you to, he's cheering you on. The Bible says that he gives us eternal encouragement. And little kids, they just have this. You know, if little kids were discouraged after the first stumble trying to walk, there would not be a person on the planet who would ever walk because, you know, we would just give up and we wouldn't try again. Principle number 53, little kids don't worry about about their life. And again, the younger the child, the less capacity they have to even formulate thought to worry. They just live in the moment. They just live life. They just trust that everything's going to be looked after. In Matthew 6:25-26, Jesus says these words. He says, therefore, I tell you, don't be anxious for your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor yet for your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? See the birds of the sky that they don't sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you of much more value than they? You see, the root of our worry in the fear of provision in the future is I believe rooted in the belief that we're not of value to God. But the more that you and I know that we have a Father in heaven and he feeds the birds of the air and he's going to look after us because of our incredible value to them. See, little kids know, and I speak in the kind of the best case scenario, a loving home. But little kids aren't worried about food. They're not worried about the mortgage. They're not worried about world peace. They just are little kids. And the way that they are able to just live as little kids, live a trusting life, they can enjoy life. They can just be able to play and to be able to experience things. And I just believe the Father wants you and I to be able to not worry anymore. It says in 1 Peter, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. You see, he's a good dad, and good dads give good gifts to their kids, to provide for their kids, protect their kids. And the more that we can just re-enter this place of a childlike simplicity of trusting and worry-free, the more that we're going to enjoy life to its full. Principle number 54, little kids live in the moment. Psalm 118, verse 24 says, this is the day that Yahweh has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's interesting that, you know, I know that, like when God revealed himself to Moses, It wasn't I was or I will be. He said, I am that I am. And God is in every moment. You know, I know he's the Alpha. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But when God reveals himself, when God is with us, it's in this moment, in every moment, as we just continue to live our life, his abiding presence is with us. And I really believe, and this refers back to the ability to not worry that I just talked about, I truly believe that the enemy of our souls will try to do everything he can to try to keep us from living in the moment. He will try to have us looking backwards through regret and condemnation and judgment and all the mistakes we made, or he will try to get us looking forward to the future that we can't control, where we have worry and anxiety, but where God abides is in the moment. Little kids live in the moment. They don't have a concept of living in the past or living in the future. They live in the moment. You know, little babies, you know, with our grandkids, you know, they would be in the crib and they'd be looking at their hands and they'd just be just staring and just lost in the moment of just looking at, and they could do that for hours. And the Father just wants us to bring us back. He wants to recalibrate us, I believe, to the simplicity of being able to live in the moment. This is the day the Lord has made. You know, we can't change the future. Jesus said, you know, we can't make our own, you know, change the color of our hair, you know, other than worry changes the color of our hair by you know, turning us gray and white sometimes prematurely. But I just believe the Father wants us to be able to just see the beauty and the simplicity of living in the moment and join little kids there. Principle number 55, little kids are filled with awe and wonder. You ever see little kids when they see something for the first time and their eyes are really big, and whether it's a shooting star or a beautiful sunset or a puppy dog, or it's just like, wow, this is so great. I truly believe that there is a place in our hearts that we can return to awe and wonder about the kingdom of our God and our Father. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And can you imagine, you know, Paul the Apostle prayed in Ephesians 1:17-18, he says, I keep asking the glorious Father that he might give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know him better, and that he might open the eyes of your heart so that you might see the hope of your calling, the glorious inheritance that you have together with the saints. You see, the more that you and I are awakened to the presence of God, the abiding presence of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a kingdom without measure, an unshakable kingdom, a kingdom that's filled with the angelic ministering servants to the heirs of salvation, the more that I really believe that God wants to restore that place for us to see into the eternal, not the temporal, not, you know, whether your bills are going to, you know, get paid next week, but to be able to see into the unseen realm. And little kids, you know, they are just there. You know, you start talking to them about even ability to of faraway lands and damsels in distress and rocket ships and imagination, and they just come to life. And I just believe there's something of the kingdom realm that the Father wants to do for us, that we are being restored to that. I don't know if it sounds good to you, but I'm all in for awe and wonder. Little kids just be able to, they just live life that way. Principle number 56, little kids love to play. And, you know, we read the story in the prodigal son story of the older brother who felt like he was ripped off of his inheritance, right? When his younger brother came home, his dad threw a party, and the older brother wouldn't even go into the party. He said, and so his father came out to him and said, come on to the party, your younger brother's home, let's celebrate. And he said to his father, I have been slaving for you all these years and you've never even given me a goat to celebrate. And of course the father's response to him is, my son, You've been with me always. Everything I have is yours. You see, the older brother could have had a celebration anytime he wanted to, but he lived under legalism, he lived under law, he lived under rules, he never felt permission to celebrate. And I believe that little kids, any opportunity to play, they do. And, you know, they have this beautiful, like I said, spontaneity and joy and finding expression in play. Would anybody want to be able to have that restored to you again, the ability to you know, you see a puddle, you know, from a rain puddle that you can't help but play in. You see, for us as adults, we try to stay away from it to keep our shoes dry. For little kids, that's an excuse to play and jump and have all kinds of fun. And I believe that there is a beautiful ability to even find release from the stress of this world when we learn to play. Oftentimes we struggle with play because we see our identity rooted in productivity, and when we're playing, we're not productive, and so we focus on work-based things to kind of shore up our identity. But I just believe that Papa loves it when his kids play. And, you know, that may even be hobbies, that may be, you know, things that you do that are even fitness related. Oftentimes we don't even do things for ourselves because we feel too guilty, because we feel like we have this, you know, carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders. Little kids don't have a problem with that. Principle number 57, little kids are helpless. There is absolutely no question in their mind that they cannot do anything in their own strength. They are weak. They are dependent. They are needy. And that's how God just had designed them. He didn't, when children are born, babies are born, they're not born with this incredible Hulk-like strength and intellectual capacities. They are weak. They are helpless. They are absolutely dependent upon their parents. Now think about, in the kingdom context, with Jesus Christ as our big brother, who's our dad? You see, the more that we realize that God is our real father and that he entrusted us to our parents until the time when we could be able to call him father through the new birth into his kingdom, the more that we begin to understand that we don't have to be strong, we don't have to be competent, and our union with Jesus has actually secured us with the union of all of the strength in the kingdom of God. In John 5, verse 19 and 20, Jesus speaks of himself in his dependence upon his Father when he says, "The Son can do nothing of himself, but he can only do what he sees his Father doing, for the Father loves the Son and shows him that all that he does." And then in John 15, verse 4 and 5, he's talking to his disciples, and so he says the same thing to them in their relationship with him. He said, "Remain in me and I in you. As the branch can't bear fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who remains in me and I in him, the same bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So when you think of that, apart from me, you can do nothing, does that frustrate you? Does that say, "Oh man, I want to do things," or does it set your heart at rest? I truly believe the Father wants to set your heart at rest today. Principle number 58, little kids are persistent. They, if you say maybe to them when they ask for something, they just keep on pounding at that door. If you say, "Daddy, can I have an ice cream cone later?" And you say maybe, they just see that as a crack in the door and they absolutely go for it. And Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not be weary in doing good, for we will reap in due season if we don't give up." See, God loves this beautiful persistence of little kids who keep on going. You know, Matthew 7:7-11 that I talked about says, "Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, don't give up." Little kids have this beautiful persistence to continue to go and keep asking. And I just believe the Father wants you and I to have that absolute beautiful persistence like a little kid. Now remember, and I've told the story before, when our oldest daughter was like 5 or 6, she wanted a kitten. Her dad didn't want a kitten, but my parents coached her on how to get a cat. I used to receive these love notes everywhere. "Dad, I love you. Can I have a kitten?" you know, in my shaving gear a note, "Dad, you're amazing. Can I have a kitten?" She didn't give up asking for a kitten. You know what ended up happening? She got her kitten. Just, I was amazed at her persistence. Principle number 59, little kids show their emotions. You see, Psalm 34 verse 18, it says, "Yahweh is near to those who have a broken heart, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit." You see, when little kids are hurt, they cry. When, you know, they express their emotions very, very easily because they are so in tune with their emotions. And as we get older, we become more and more guarded, and we you know, the kind of the sayings like "big boys don't cry," and we all of a sudden build these walls of protection around us, so we can lose touch with our emotions. I believe that when the love of the Father comes, when we start getting healing, when we know that He is close to us, then we're able to open our hearts up to Him more and be more honest about our emotions. And then even I believe the more that we are walking in our union with God, the more that we can begin to emote the emotions of God. So when God's happy, you know, it's being broadcast through our emotions. We're, you know, the joy of the Lord is on our face, and when He's crying, we are weeping. And the more that we are able to just be able to be healed in the emotional realm and restored to what God wants, I believe the more that, you know, we will find a restoration in the very core of our being. Principle number 60, little kids need to be comforted. I think one of the lies that I believe that the grown-up world system has kind of perpetrated is that little kids need comfort, but when you become an adult, you don't need comfort anymore. The truth is, we were created to experience comfort. And if we don't experience comfort from the source of all comfort, and that is God, we will spend our entire life trying to seek out comfort in counterfeit ways, whether that is, food or drugs or relationships or religious striving or whatever ways, performance, you know, that we try to find comfort. You were created to experience comfort. Little kids need to be comforted. They don't apologize for it. And they just absolutely, when they get hurt, they run into their parents' arms and they look for comfort. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." The more that you and I are able to go to God for comfort and to receive comfort, the more that you and I are going to be able to be a manifestation of that same comfort to other people. Little kids, principle number 61, little kids need a father's love. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God," and that is what we are. You see, God promises to be a father to the fatherless, and He puts the lonely in families. Little kids were created to need a father's love, and fathers give their children their name, their identity. They prepare them for the world. They encourage them, they strengthen them, and they protect them. You were created to experience a father's love, and so was I. In the same way that we need to experience a father's love, principle number 62, little kids need a mother's love. And God says to Israel these words in Isaiah 49, verse 15 and 16, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me." You see, a mother's love is different than a father's love. A mother's love is nurturing, and not saying a father's love isn't, but the feminine expression of the love of God. See, God's love for you is not only a masculine expression, it's a feminine expression as well. It's a mother's love. It's a comforting love. It's a protecting love. It's a nurturing love. It's a securing love. It's an affirming love. And the way that you need to be loved, and that little kids need to be loved, it's like a mother's love is one wing of a bird, and then the father's love is the other wing. And both wings are needed for you and I to soar in life. And the Father gives us both a mother's love and a father's love. And little kids are in tune with this. They need that in their life. And it's important to them. And I just believe the Father wants us to open up to Him and just really believe that that is a foundational need in our life as well. Principle number 63, little kids need affirmation. We were created to experience affirmation. It's one of the foundational emotional needs of the human heart, that we just need to know that we belong to somebody, that we are affirmed, and that, you know, that our life is, there's a destiny, there's a purpose, and all those things I truly believe were summed up when Jesus came out of the waters of baptism in Matthew 3, verse 16 and 17. This is what the Bible describes Jesus' baptism experience. It says, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up directly from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming on him. Behold, a voice out of the heavens said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. See, little kids need affirmation. They come home with their report cards. They, you know, they come home after doing things at school or whatever. It's really, really important to them that their parents affirm them. And the truth is that you and I, through what Jesus did on the cross, there's that same open heaven that was over Jesus. When the windows of heaven were torn open over Jesus at the waters of baptism, the Bible never says they were closed again. And could you imagine what life could be like for you and I if we lived under the affirmation of our Heavenly Father every day of our life? This is my son, Barry. I love him. He's my boy. I'm so proud of him. He's got an incredible destiny and a future. I really believe the Father wants to speak into your heart that affirmation today, that you're living with an open heaven and just like Jesus continues to live. Little kids are absolutely priceless. To a parent, Their children are the center of the universe. You cannot put a value on little kids to a parent or a grandparent or a great-grandparent for all that goes. Romans 8:31 and 32 says, what then shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who didn't spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how would he not also with him freely give us all things? Your value to God, we determine things in our society by what we're willing to pay to buy things. What was the value that God placed on your life that he was willing to pay for you? He emptied the bank when he sent Jesus 2,000 years ago to secure your redemption so that you could call him Abba. And the more that we understand how valuable we are to God, the less we will worry, the less we will fear, the less we will consume ourselves with distracting thoughts about our self-protection, because we know if God is for us, who can be against us? Little kids know that. When they know they're loved, they don't spend a whole lot of time trying to manage their life. They just are able to live in the moment. Principle number 65, and I'm just plowing through these. And again, you feel free to get the book and look at them more in more detail. Little kids have always been loved. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. You see, Jack Winner used to say about this verse that there was never a time in all of eternity when you were not loved. Now, if you look at your own life, there's probably some times in your life when you did not feel like you were loved. Could you imagine the revelation and how your life would change if the Father opened up the truth of the kingdom in his heart to you, that you have always been loved. You've been loved with an everlasting love. And the more that we know that, it's a love that predates creation. It's a love that's always existed for you. It exists in this very moment, and it will always exist through eternity. And the more that you and I are able to just come into terms with that love, fear will vanish. We will just be able to live in a place of security and safety and rest, knowing that we have a dad who loves us and he's always loved us. Principle number 66, little kids have a secure inheritance. Ephesians 1:13 and 14 says, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. You see, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit as a deposit to guarantee our inheritance. The more that you know and I know that we are loved, but with a, by our Heavenly Father, who is our true Father. We weren't an orphan adopted into His family. We were born of His own seed into His family. So our inheritance is secure. We don't have to fight for it. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to strive for it. We can rest and just live in it. I believe the more that we believe that we have a secure inheritance, the more rest will come. And we'll be able to live in the overflow of every good and perfect gift that comes down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I believe that whether your parents gave you an inheritance, whether they were able to bless you or not, your Father is blessing you, and you have a secure inheritance in His kingdom. Principle number 67, we're almost there. Little kids are important to God. And Psalm 139, verse 16, King David writes, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. When you were in your mother's womb, your Father, your Heavenly Father, was looking at you. He saw you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. And He's numbered every one of the hairs on your head. And every one of your days are written in a special book before one of them came to be." You see, my prayer for you and for me today is that we would know our value to God. We would know how important we are to Him. And the more that we know that, the more it will set our hearts at rest, that we don't have to manage and try to protect ourselves. Every one of your days are written in His special book. Principle number 68, little kids are always on God's mind. King David wrote in Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18, "How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum, their sum. If I were to count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I wake up, I am still with you." You know what that means? God is thinking about you a bazillion times a day. He never stops thinking about you. The thoughts He has towards you outnumber the grains of sand on the seashore. That's an awful lot. That's a really big number. It's absolutely innumerable. And it's just simply that God is thinking about you. He's always got His heart towards you and His affections towards you. And the more that, you know, little kids have the security to know that their parents are for them and love them and are thinking of them, when we begin to believe that more in our core of our being, I really believe it has the potential to change everything. Principle number 69, little kids are God's best work. When God created creation, the first 6 days after every day, He pronounced that it was good. But after He created man and woman in the garden, He pronounced that it was very good. You see, you and I live under the Father's blessing. We live under His affirmation, and we are His workmanship. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ for good, Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared that we would walk in them." And the New Living Translation says, "We are His masterpiece." The Father wants you to know that when He looks at you, you are His work of art. And when He is pleased with your life, you were created for His pleasure, for His enjoyment. And the more that we are able to just relish in that, "I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and so are you." You know, the more that we can just be able to enter into the joy that the Father has for us as His kids. And the last one is principle number 70. And we're here, guys. Thanks for hanging in there with me throughout this whole series. Little kids love to be blessed. You know, Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16, I really believe is a beautiful prototypical heart that the Father has for us. Jesus said, "I only do what I see my Father doing." So when Jesus did this, it was at the heart of His Father. And this is what it says, starting at verse 13. "They were bringing to Him little children that He should touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who were bringing them. But when Jesus saw it, He was moved with indignation and said to them, 'Allow the little children to come to me. Don't forbid them, for God's kingdom belongs to such as these. Most certainly I tell you, whoever will not receive God's kingdom like a little child, he will in no way enter into it.' He took them in His arms and blessed them, laying His hands on them." Jesus only did what He saw His Father doing. You see, the Father wants you and I to receive the kingdom like a little, just like a little child would. And our destiny is to be carried in his arms under his blessing, knowing that he is our true Father. Jesus came to make this an experiential reality. This is not just a theological concept, but the Father wants you and I to live life as a little kid, a little boy, a little girl with a big dad, knowing that he's covering everything. And my prayer for you today, and I'm just going to put the music on now, is that you would know this beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you would know that God is your true Father, and that because he's the Ancient of Days, he is a lot older than you. He has been carrying you every day of your life. You don't have to fear. You don't have to worry. You don't have to live in shame. You don't have to battle anxiety. You can just cast every care onto his strong shoulders because he cares for you. Because he's Abba. He is your Father. And that this Holy Spirit, who is that deposit in our hearts that guarantees our inheritance, the seal of the promise of God, bears witness with our spirits, and we cry out, Abba, you really are our Father. So Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that the reality of these things, that the kingdom does belong to little children, and that true kingdom greatness is found, Father, when we are able to turn and change and become like little children again. Father, not to be childish, but to be childlike. Father, would you just awaken in us the desire to live life with Almighty God as our dad. We have the biggest, best dad in the universe. And thank you, Jesus, for making this possible. Thank you that we are your brothers and your sisters, that you are the firstborn among many brothers and sisters in the family of our God and Father. Thank you that these things will be more solidified and more real when we see you face to face in heaven. But Father, help us this side of heaven to begin to live with all the benefits of the kingdom, knowing that we have a Father who loves us with an everlasting love. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. So that's it, guys. Thank you. We got through it. I'll do that.